Blog Talk Radio.
There are seven wonders of the universe. You're about to hear the eighth. Welcome to Sports in Depth on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, with your host, award-winning journalist and commentator, the legendary Doc Stanley. You have time to tell a friend about Sports in Depth. It's heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem. Now, here's your host, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, on Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. And we are always open here with a prayer. And we open with John Coltrane's legendary, Dear Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day, and more importantly, have your will and way. Dear Lord, we thank you for little things we so largely take for granted. And we want you to have your way be our way. We thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming that have come all unmerited. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that died on the cross that we may have the right to the tree of life, dear Lord. As that man once said, although we don't live on Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live on a park bench. A lady one time prayed, you're God all by yourself. The maker of heaven and earth. All good things wonderful. It is you who made us and not ourselves. As we recite a Bible verse now at every show, I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. John 15, 16. It is not good for man's meal. That is wrong. Genesis 2:18, and then John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord. And it's a pre-Super Bowl special tomorrow. The Baltimore Ravens, who have won a Super Bowl, and the San Francisco 49ers, who have won five Super Bowls, will meet again. So both teams are no stranger to victory. And strange is not, or the San Francisco 49ers, a lot of talk has been happening. We'll take our hats off, too, with Pro Bowl last week. Victor Cruz broke a Pro Bowl record, 10 catches. And what's all been silent, too, is Jerry Reese. What a tremendous job he did. Giants just came up short in making the playoffs, but another winning season. He's been in the Super Bowl two of the last 5 years, won his first year general manager. Just does a tremendous job, and you never hear anything about the outstanding job he does or any accolades. And you look back at that mess by the team that I was once so fond of, the Jets, and you look at Tannenbaum as a GM who just, everything was chaotic, everything was out of whack, and you just never heard anything about Tannenbaum from a negative standpoint of view. And there's nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, we've never heard anything from a positive standpoint of view from Jerry Reese, and one I consider a friend. And as we always talk about the Trust in God, Sports and Deaf Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame, Jerry Reese has donated one of his caps. If I'm going to read the card later to you that he sent me, and it's one of my proudest possessions, one of the things that I may not even let ever go. Maybe I'll just take that with me when I go to Brazil. And sometimes I do wear the hat around. In fact, I don't wear the hat today. You know what I mean? Giants, amazing stat last year about the Giants. The Giants finished last. Not next to last. Not part of the last crew. The Giants finished last year in rushing. So, you know, stats have its place, which brings me to this point. Jerry Reese, the great general manager of the Giants, who we are saluting. And Jerry Rice is the picture that I use on the incoming monologue today. And it was Randy Moss who said, he felt he was the greatest receiver of all time. And he said it's not about stats. It's not about numbers. It's not about championships. And there's so much to be said about that. I mean, are you going to tell me that Casey Jones, who won 8 championships in a row, okay, with the Celtics, is greater than Oscar Robertson and Jerry West, who won a combined 2? You know what I mean? I mean, so there's a lot of merit. I mean, are you going to tell me that Bobby Richardson, who won those championships with the Yankees, is a better second baseman than Joe Morgan or Roberto Alomo because he won championships? The greatest forward ever played the game of basketball, Elgin Baylor, never won a championship. But when you're picking a team, when you're picking your all-time team, Baylor's the first forward. 27 points, 13 rebounds a game. Career. 1 year, Baylor snatched 19 rebounds a game. I remember talking to him the last time I saw my dear friend, my good friend Will Chamberlain at the Silver Cup Studios. And the gentleman that was the reason behind that was the greatest African-American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio. It makes him the greatest of all time. The voice that introduces the show and takes us off. We keep using the SAR African radio just to keep the memory of that online. Larry Hardesty. And we were out there. They had the all-time team, Elgin Baylor, Russell, Will Chamberlain. I was looking for Will. How could I miss one? He said, hey, man, what you doing here? And the last time I saw my good friend Chamberlain, Jerry West. And I asked Elgin Baylor, I said, wow. I said, you know, Mr. Baylor, one year you pulled down 19 rebounds. And he said, oh, man, that was nothing, man. He said, Russell Chamberlain was pulling down 20 a game. And what we're doing, we're going to pull you into the Sports Network Nation real quick, Mel Smith, Jr., Little Coco, Cosell will bring us into the Sports Nation. We'll talk Super Bowl, and we'll talk some more about championships and the Randy Moss and Jerry Rice situation. But now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, what I have done now is we bring you our Super Bowl special, I'm going to have the man, the future WF star, former star, the man, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., a.k.a. Little Coco, will now bring you into the Sports Nation. And as I said, Rudy, it's showtime.
Doc, the Sports In Depth Nation is here. Our Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rudy. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust in God Radio Network. We're talking Super Bowl. We're talking 49ers. We're talking Ravens. When you talk Super Bowl, when you talk football, you got to bring in the one and only. So, we're going to start it off. Last night, the Knicks and the Nets both won. Knicks now, if they win today, first time all year, they're back-to-back home games, they'll be in first place. And this is not the first week of the season. Last night, both teams had impressive wins. Knicks won last night, and also the Nets won. So they're both playing good football. Brook Lopez in the Nets victory. 20 points, and I know that makes Rooney feel good. It's Super Bowl time! The Baltimore Ravens against the San Francisco 49ers. 5-time winners, the 49ers are. But the Ravens, last in Super Bowl, they won. And a lot of things have been talked about. We also want to take our hats off and say, hey, Victor Cruz, Wega Mi Hermano, broke a Pro Bowl record for over 10 catches last week. We're taking our hats off to Jerry Reese. Never gets any props of a great job he's done. The Giants look like their season was just disastrous. Didn't make the playoffs, but they had another winning season. He's won 2 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. Jerry Reese, we take our hats off to you. Once again, as the month ended, we remember Jack Roosevelt Robinson, 1947, April 15th, the first African-American to break the color line in Major League Baseball. And with that, that he was the first ever Rookie of the Year. And in 1949, the batting average 342 was the first African American to win a batting championship and win MVP in the same season. Okay, football is the talk. It is the Ravens, and it is the San Francisco 49ers that will be in the Super Bowl tomorrow. And win, lose, or draw, it is said, you'll be able to walk away. Nominations for the Hall of Fame. Bill Parcells, Mike United at Lakewood City. Mike Strahan, okay, one of the greats. And also, man who used to own the Cleveland Browns who brought the Ravens into Baltimore. Art Modell, our citizen, been there too already. So, this is it for you. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, on the Trust of God Radio Network. They're here. The Hoops is here. Mel Modell, a.k.a. Little Cuckoo, is here. And the foremost acknowledged person in the world of football, C-Wings, is here. We thank you. God, thanks for having the Trust of God. Ladies and gentlemen, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, we're ready to talk football. We're ready to talk sports. We're ready to meet you one more time here. Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Well, but that said, it's the Ravens and the 49ers. A couple of things, too.
Hey, let's start this off right away with this, Doc. I got to bring this to you because I know you've been a big advocate for the last few years, and I know Hoop and C will agree and remember this, agree with me and remember this. Your guy, Randy Moss, greatest wide receiver ever played this game, huh, Doc?
Well, you know, this is what Moss has said. I'm glad you brought that up because that's all one come up. Well, you know, Moss made a tremendous point. And I'm going to say this about Jerry Rice, you know. And it's the same thing that I said about Joe Montana. You know, that was a hell of a system those guys were in. That was a hell of a system those guys were in. And I've always said this, you know, I mean, if you remember, it's Steve Young that has thrown 6 touchdowns in a Super Bowl. Not Joe Montana, not Joe Namath, not Peyton Manning. It is Steve Young who has thrown 6 touchdowns in a Super Bowl game. Now, I mean, the numbers are with Jerry Rice. And people are saying, well, you know, Jerry Rice numbers, too, were numbers that were conducive and productive in championships. And but if you remember, when Randy Moss started out with the Minnesota Vikings, Randy Moss was en route to supersede, supplant, and overtake the records that Jerry Rice had. And if I'm correct, he's still not only number 2. To say them, I mean, you know, you sort of feel you're the best. The statistics are not there with him as they are with Jerry Rice. But on the other hand, what I said at the top of the show, you know, one of the things that's so often done now when people want to, like, validate an argument or cement what they say, well, how many rings does he have? Well, you know, and that's the top of the show. Are you going to tell me that Casey Jones with 8 rings is greater than Oscar Robertson, Walt Frazier, Earl Monroe, and Jerry West, who didn't have that many combined? You know what I mean? Are you going to tell me that Moose Guerin is a greater first baseman than Frank Thomas, Don Mattingly, and Orlando Cepeda because he has more world championship rings? Now, are you going to tell me that Bobby Richardson is a greater second baseman than Joe Morgan, Roberto Alomar, and Jackie Robinson because he has more rings? Rings has its place, but ring is not the criteria for that validates greatness and the status of being an immortal. I mean, and everybody's taking this thing with more. Some are saying, you know, maybe it's a merit, and some are saying he's crazy. But, you know, Randy Moss, if Jerry Rice is number 1, okay, then Randy Moss is number 2. There's no question about it. I mean, when Randy Moss is on his game, Randy Moss, and you know, we forget about it. I'm not taking nothing away from Jerry, but Jerry had Montana. He had Craig in the backfield. He had Taylor on the other side of him. You know, I mean, you know, Jerry had some dynamite.
He's starting the team, Doc Tamari. You're starting the team. You got one receiver that you can take. Who are you picking first, Rice or Moss? Straight up, simple as that. Who are you picking first, Doc? That's what I want to know.
Randy Moss.
You're taking Randy Moss over Jerry Rice to be your first receiver, Doc.
You just asked me that, and I told you I'm taking Randy Moss.
I'm taking Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is just not only with the – and another thing that Jerry Rice had on his side was longevity. I think when – Jerry Rice retired, he could have played probably another 2 or 3 seasons. The guy's in phenomenal shape, even now. I mean, he was just...
But seeing that there's 2 things here. Okay, Rice had longevity because of the team he played. And cause, I mean, you know, Randy Moss was basically blackballed. You mean to tell me that year that Randy Moss set out, nobody wanted Moss? I mean, you're telling me up in New England, okay, when his contract came up. Because here's another. If Moss stays in New England, he's putting up some extra added numbers, and they're earning him as the superior or the equal of Jerry Rice. But, you know, Jerry always had a great thing. And are we forgetting those horrible seasons in Oakland that Jerry had? Are we forgetting that? I mean, are we forgetting how the powers that be blackballed Eric Dickerson, who had the all-time rushing record if he was not blackballed? Are we forgetting about how baseball blacked out 2 years Barry Bonds because he wasn't the type of Negro, I'm using the word, that they liked? Okay, I mean, I'm going to take one for Jerry. And you know what? I got no problem if you take Jerry over Moss. You ask me. You know, but Moss is not chopped liver. And there was a system that allowed Jerry to do those things, and Jerry was a guy that was liked by the powers to be. Okay? Now, longevity, I mean, longevity has its place. But, I mean, are you going to tell me that I can get a guy that's a 257 lifetime hitter that played 20 years, and I get a guy that hits 347 for 13 years? Superiority is superiority. Got no problem here with Jerry Rice being pictured as the greatest hitter. But Moss had the ability to leap over people. Moss had the ability to go across. Moss had the ability to do everything that Jerry did, and been very interesting to see how Moss' career would have played out had he went to Dallas instead of Minnesota, even though Dallas didn't have. Here's a guy that Dallas didn't want to take from the job. Let's not forget Reggie Jackson. You know, Reginald Martinez Jackson, the Mets said, we're not taking him. And we're not taking him. Why? Because they thought he had a white wife. The same reason why Vic Power was not the first black Yankee. It should have been Elson Howard. But they thought Vic Power had a white wife. Gentlemen.
Well, we see the Mets. You mentioned after Reggie Jackson, and you see how they turn around and treated their coach.
Willie Randolph?
Willie?
Yeah.
Willie? Yeah.
How they fight him on the road. The Mets are going to have the curse of the Bambino for years.
Well, you know, forget all the curse of the Bambino. What goes around comes around.
That's what I'm saying. They're going to have
that
curse.
Because, you know, God sits high and sees low. Bottom line, okay, you're going to reap what you sow. No matter how big the garden is, if you plant tomatoes, don't go out there looking for cabbage. Don't go out there looking for potatoes. I mean, the Mets, I was done with the Mets when Willie Mays was a coach. And after Mrs. James, and I remember, I see Cleon Jones telling me now that baseball don't look out for black players. He said, Mrs. Jane Payson looked out for Willie. Supposedly, Doc Stanley Sports and their blog talk radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. We're talking pre-Super Bowl here, but of course, you know, when you get the crew here, we talk about some everything. Okay.
You look at the Rooney Rule. How many black coaches were hired?
Well, hold on. In the back up. Let me finish this thought. Okay. That's a great point. Jane Payson, old Giant fan, got a chance to get Willie Mays. The whole thing about Willie Mays coming to New York was that he would be in a financial situation and taking care of the rest of his career. And this is why Stoneham supposedly, and as that story goes, traded Willie, you know, because Payson wanted him, hey, look, Horace, I'm going to take care of him. He'll be taken care of. All right? She dies, and all of a sudden, the question that the Mets asked, and I've never heard this question asked by a coach, now, Willie, what are your duties around here? Are you serious? Are you asking Willie Mays what are his duties around here? Are you asking Willie Mays, the greatest all-around player that ever played, what can he teach somebody? The guy who led the league in home runs? The guy who's the only home run hitter in the history of baseball to lead the league in stolen bases? The all-time center fielder who had the most catches of any outfield in baseball history? Okay, the first African-American to do 30-30, only the second man at that time in the history of the National League to hit 50 home runs twice, him and Ralph Kiner. And you asking Willie Mays what were his duties around here? And then you had the audacity to fire Willie Howard Mays, who won a batting championship. And then I was really done with you. I was really finished with you when Willie Randolph, who is the only second baseman in Yankee history to never commit an error in postseason play. I cannot remember, and Rooney and you two wings that we've dubbed, I cannot remember a manager ever getting fired not only on the road but in the midst of a winning streak. But then again, how these things always seem to happen to people of color. So the Mets, an organization that is not taking care of, I mean, the Mets used to have a Negro League Day. The late Jim Plummer started it. I, by the grace of God, was part of the initial Negro League Day here ever held at Yankee Stadium. At Sonny Heights, whose birthday is coming up this month, asked me to help out with the affair, and I got the legendary, the incomparable, the man who started Sports Talk Radio, Art Russ Jr., to MC the game and MC the affair. And then Plummer came back with an even better deal. He had a Negro League Day, and he would have the players introduced. He'd have the players sign autographs, and then he would take them up into the suites with their family. He would feed them. There'd be food and drink, and then I never forget the look on their face the first time. Plummer had checks for every single one of the players. But what happened when Plummer died? That died too. Sometimes it seems that the league that brought African-Americans into baseball have a more lack of sensitivity than the other league. Well, the Yankees have never had another Negro League Day since that first one. That was amazing. But, you know, you just look back at the Mets organization that it's the whole scope of baseball, the foundation of baseball, the core of baseball. What is it? American's pastime. You know, it's about racism. And the point you brought up, too, just seconds ago, Cincinnati C, is where are the black coaches? Where are the black managers?
Not only black coaches, the black players. I mean, where are
Rooney,
the pitchers? Where are the pitchers and the catchers?
You took the words out of my mouth.
How many pitcher batteries do you
right.
see in the major leagues now, Doc?
I was told that Thanksgiving last year, as we had Thanksgiving on the 12th, on the 11th, I was told, it was at an affair, and one of the coaches said, hey, he said, you know, not only is baseball systematically, I remember telling Ken Griffey Jr. 20 years ago, I said, you know, there are less black players in baseball today than there was 20 years ago. And that was 15, 16, 17 years ago he played. And this gentleman, this coach told me, I was trying to get him for us when we were with Blake Video. He said, you know, baseball is not only systematically deleting the African-American out, but when they do bring an African-American in, they're bringing one of a certain color. He said, there are, in baseball today, and we're talking Super Bowl football, don't worry about it, we're talking football. He said, there are no dark complexion African-Americans in baseball anymore. No, he said, you know, they are a lighter color, and by no shape or form are we seeing them the complexion of back in the day, you know, a dark Jackie Robinson, you know, a dark, I mean, not dark. Yeah. I mean, you know, so it's, you know, as all of the things change, they remain the same. And we have to
And
understand.
Not only that, Doc, but you have to also take into consideration that, you know, in the inner cities, okay, you're not seeing a whole lot of guys playing baseball out in the field. You know, you need the glove, the bat, the ball. Mm-hmm. People, you see guys playing basketball, Doc. That's what people play
well, you know,
in the inner city.
You
guys
I tell you
stuff,
too. Marion Boykin, whose son, Brandon, was part of one of the great little league teams out in New Jersey. And Marion told me this 15, 20 years ago. He said, Doc, I can see it in the little leagues where they're deleting the black kids out. In other words, okay, here's a great scenario. Here's Mel Smith Jr., an outstanding hitting shortstop, which is always a premium because the reality of it is you only want your shortstop, second baseman, center fielder, and catcher to catch the ball. Now, when I came up, I didn't understand how catchers couldn't hit because the Yankees had Elston Howard. Before that, they had Yogi Berra. And the Dodgers had Roy Campanella. Same thing with center fielders. What do you mean center fielders can't hit? There's Willie Mays that was here. Joe DiMaggio was here. Mickey Mantle was here. Duke Snider was here. And my answer is what they'll do. They'll take the elite black kid at second base and shortstop, which the numbers are minuscule, and put them now all of a sudden in center field or right field where now they're playing against a higher populace of players that are good. So now where they are exceptional and stands out, now they are elite among an elite core of players. And Marion told me, he said, he saw the deletion. I mean, because they talk about an inner city, and a lot of that, too, is programmed because When you go out to the outer city in Long Island, New Jersey, there's the Manicured Fields, there's the ballpark for the kids, of, as Ali said, the complexion of the connection. You know, they're talking about, well, you know, kids don't play baseball in the city. You know, baseball one time was the number one game. Everybody played. I mean, everybody was a little leaguer. Everybody wanted to play baseball. But the points that you both you guys are making, and that's true, is that, you know, systematically the African-American has been deleted out of baseball. And if you take him out of the little league, well, then there's nobody to graduate to the minor leagues. And I remember talking to Ken Hill one time, and it was Kevin Mills who had said that, you know, when African-Americans and Latin pitchers can no longer throw hard, they're gone. And me and Ken Hill were talking about that, and I said, well, think about it, Kenny. I mean, can you think of any black or Latin pitcher that's not a hard thrower? And when they can't throw hard anymore, I mean, I look at Frank Tanana was allowed to stay and become a finesse pitcher. But as soon as the Doc Gooden, as soon as the Ken Hills, as soon as the hard flamethrowing Jose Rios, so you can't be a flamethrower anymore, sayonara. You know, and it's off that. Bill White, and I've told this story a million times. The first African-American president of the National League, highest position ever held from an executive standpoint of view by an African-American. I see Bill to this day. We're walking down the street. And asked him, you know, how come he resigned? Bill told me they're not going to change. They're not going to change. He was a guy who was a Golden Glover. He was a guy who's one of the rare athletes, forget about African American, who came into baseball with a college degree. He was the first African American sportscaster to do play-by-play as he was with the Yankees. And he said something, they're not going to change. And, you know, people can talk about that all they want. Arthur Ashe, we have to be twice as good to have a chance. I mean, the core and fiber of America. You know, I talked to my sweetheart the other day, and I've talked to so many people in my beloved Brazil who want to come to America. You know, the so-called, this great opportunity and the land of America. And I said, hey, you know, I love New York, especially if I'm coming to New York. I said, well, you know, New York in America is by no way, shape, or form what you think it is. And Brazilians, where the highest populace of people of African-American descent outside of Africa is there, you know, black has always been a problem.
Yeah,
America.
But that's just folklore, Doc, like, huh? As you know and as C-Wings know. You know, everybody's convinced of what they heard, you know, that land of milk and honey
stuff.
And the streets are paved with
the
gold.
Yeah.
I mean, you barely got a living in New York City. Are you kidding?
You know, if people don't understand that there are people in New York City who pay more for rent than some people make in Brazil. Now, it just
let me do you one better, Doc. There are folks who pay more for parking a month than for the folks that make. Okay.
Hey, Rudy, could you say that one more time, Rudy?
Keep listening. They keep raising the fares or the tolls. You're going to be paying more for tolls than
you're
some
right,
people
see.
Pay.
Yeah,
I mean, the Verrazano, the crossings, the Hudson crossings, the Lincoln.
And bridges that have been paid for four or five times over. You know,
absolutely.
The whole idea with taxes was to pay for the war. The whole idea for tolls was to pay for. They've been paid four, five, six. It's just.
And
the words.
And a couple of months, the transit system. See, as you were saying, and Doc, as you know, the transit system in a mere few months ago is going to go from, I believe, 225 to 250.
And you know the thing about that, Rooney, too, is that as I see this, and by the grace of God, as all great and wonderful, and my Father and Savior in heaven, I just thank you so much. All homage to you. I mean, you know, I'm blessed. As a New York City cop, but I'm proud. I told a buddy of mine, I'm proud to say that I'm from New York. You know, the number one city in the world. I'm proud to say that I was a cop in the best police department in the world. And with that, I'm blessed. I don't have to pay to ride the subway for the rest of my life. You know, between the badge and my transit badge. But I'm looking at the deletion of services. You know, and I say, what validates increase? I mean. There are places where there are booths. I mean, you know, 3 months ago there was a booth. There's a booth there no more. There's no longer a booth. Okay, at night,
certain trains don't run. On the weekend, certain trains don't run. So what, you know, in Brazil, on Saturday and Sunday, you get 50 cents off of the bus fare. Hey, I would think in New York City, they would say, okay, you know what? We're going to pick one day a week that is on us. Monday, one day. There's nothing to validate, really, or justify the fare increases. And I know, they had a story a few years ago where the TA did print that they were in surplus, and then all of a sudden it was retracted.
Right.
You remember that? And the thing, too, like you said,
yeah, sure.
I remember a buddy of mine who had an apartment. This is 1994. $2,000 a month he was paying. And if you wanted parking, it was $500 a month. Okay, so you're talking about $6,000 a year to park your car. He didn't have a car, you know what I mean? But $6,000 a year to park your car. You know, and he's paying $2,000 a month rent back in 1994. So you got to know what that's got to be three, close to four now. And there are people, you know, who read the books and they want to come to New York and they want to come to California. And you know, if you ain't the complexion of the connection, I mean, we're finding now that there are more people who, I remember I was in the military, there were guys who would do their 20 years and go back to their homes, their countries. And you're finding more people making the exodus back. In a lot of ways, you know, America.
Wasn't it Tina Turner just moved to Switzerland, it was?
Yeah, no, she gave up her American citizenship. I mean, America perpetrates so much of a fraud. I mean, you know, if you're not collecting the connection, America ain't doing it. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break. They're here. Cincinnati C, Cincinnati B, and of course, Mexico, Bell, Fifth Junior, a.k.a. Little Cover. What's up, Super Bowl? Let's get around to it. We got time. Hey, learn what's up. He's not feeling. What's up? Rock Pop Radio on the Sucker Guard Radio Network. Torpedoes. Oh, yeah. That's what brings you sports in depth. Torpedoes from Fortaleza, Brazil. You know, I had the commercial for the longest time. I'm just losing here. Hey, calzones, sandwiches, and hamburgers. Hey, Torpedoes is not only the best in Brazil, it's the best in the world. Ah, and in the world of Brazil. Torpedoes in Fortaleza. Voice. Lembre, quando você fome, quando você quer comer hambúrguer, sanduíche e pizza, liga Torpedoes. Torpedoes. Ei, Torpedoes, não somente número um em Fortaleza, número um em todo Brazil. Torpedoes! And that's where I have to get some more. I had my plug here, but that's it. When you're in Brazil, Fortaleza, I mean, I just was taken back by the service that they gave us, me and International Moderator Cotamacio Jr. We ordered something, and the guy came, and he had guaraná is the sort of the ginger ale, the number one beverage in Brazil, and my água com gás, that's water with gas, which is seltzer water. I remember when I was in front of Amazon, and there was a French guy outside of the club there on Wednesdays, which is where everybody goes, and I told him I wanted a hamburger and água com gás. And he said, oh, você agora fala português muito bom. I'm learning. And but they had forgotten our two sodas. And but the guy said they had given us a discount on the Sundays we had. And yet, about 45 minutes later, the bell rung, and the doorman said the guy was coming up, and they brought back the beverages they had forgotten. And Desio said, you know what? They got a customer. And I know it's the little things in life, too, that really can make it. Excuse me, thank you. Giving the lady a flower, you know, just opening the door, just a little T-shirt. It's the little things. And this was a little thing that really turned out to be a big thing. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio. We've talked about a host of things. We got still time to talk about the football. Everybody's talking about football. It's the Baltimore Ravens against the San Francisco 49ers. One of the things that I wanted to start about, that I talked about too, I opened up with talking about Bart Starr. And, you know, Bart Starr was the winner of the first two Super Bowl MVPs, the great quarterback from the Green Bay Packers. I remember Buster, I read where he was a backup quarterback for 8 years. Wow. Ray Lewis, who will be playing in his last
game. Mr. Controversial himself. Yeah, Doc.
Yeah, he'll be playing.
Mr. Antler. Yeah, what about Ray?
Yeah, he'll be in his last football game. I had heard some rumors about 2 weeks ago that it may not be his last football game, but Ray Lewis, Bart Starr. We also talked about Victor Cruz, a new Pro Bowl record last week with the 10 catches. Jerry Reese, is there a better GM in pro football? The answer is no. And he just never seems to get any pub. The Jerry Reese, great job with the New York Giants. And
yeah, although you're going to have to do a hell of a job this year because you're getting old. Especially on the defensive line. The guys don't look the same. I mean, he got a lot of contracts to work out this year. I mean, what are you going to do with Umanora? Are you going to keep him or are you going to let him walk?
Mm-hmm.
They need to get a little bit younger. They looked a little long in the tooth towards the end of the season. Funny you should mention Victor Cruz. He's going to be looking for the big money, and I'm sure they'll get something worked out because he deserves the big money. I know he wants huge money, and since he's their top receiver, but I think they'll work something out. I don't think he's going to have to hold out or do anything quite that drastic.
They got that salary cap. I don't know.
Yeah, but you're going to be losing a lot of guys as well. I don't see OC coming back.
No, he's not coming back.
Really?
Not for the money that he wants.
Right.
No, wow. I mean, he's getting older too, but I don't see it. They have a couple, that secondary there, they're going to have to bring that pass rush back. And so they, I think Reese is going to plug a lot of holes there. Webster, I don't see him coming back. The Giants, I mean, they don't have a bigger hole than the New York Jets. I think the Giants
need somebody at every position, see? I mean, my goodness. They don't just have holes. They have valleys to fill.
They put some of the Giants on the Jets squad.
it's like running over a pothole, but then when you see the Grand Canyon in front of you, that's what the Jets have. I mean,
they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a running back. They don't have any wide receivers. They don't have any tight end. I mean, my goodness, Hoop, can he draft like 30 people every year?
Listen, and I think this is one of the reasons that Peyton Manning didn't want to play with them now when he was looking for a team or back then. When he was coming out of Tennessee,
mm-hmm.
They were gonna. I think they were definitely gonna try to go after Peyton Manning because he was the number one pick that year. But he went back for another year to play. I think he had already finished his degree, but he just said, "You know what? I don't think I want to go to the New York Jets."
His father told him not to go there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His father put a bug in his ear.
Can I ask one quick question before you guys finish? I'll make it brief. In regard to the Jets, okay, they had a change as the offensive coordinator was gone. The defensive coordinator was gone. Special teams coach was gone. The GM was gone. How did that Rex, little old Rex, he survives everything? Offensive coordinator gone, defensive coordinator gone, GM gone, special teams coach gone. Little old Rex still in the pond.
Well, I think they made a good decision with Rex. I think the ownership likes him.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, and a lot of the players like him. I think he's a good coach. But they gutted a lot of he brings that pizzazz too to the team. I mean, it's always the Jets are not even relevant. Their season was over many, many, many weeks ago. But yet they were still relevant in the media. They were still relevant in the New York area, I guess, for bringing attention. But sometimes you don't want to bring that type of attention. But it's something about Rex. And I see it that he can fire up the team. I mean, when you find
well, how about firing up? See, how about getting fired up enough to win a couple of games?
Well, I was
about
just
firing that up a little bit.
I was alluding to that. It's like a barbecue. You could only
Black
like
sports
you could only
Black
like
Talk Radio, Trust the Guard Radio Network. It's Mel Smith Jr. Anti-jet movement continues. Cincinnati Singh, who will defend it to the end. And there's the Hoopster, who says, hey, if it ain't the Steelers, it don't matter to me. We're talking pro football. We're talking everything. Gentlemen, continue. Just letting me Luke's finish break here. Two bowls tomorrow. We're going to talk Super Bowl in a minute.
No,
but
she was about to make a point. Go ahead, C.R. I got to hear your point on the Jets, because I think they should all go.
You got him riled up now. You got him started now. You got on the Jets. He ain't going for that now. He's going to speak up on the Jets now. That's Ryan's boy now. You can't mess with that now. You got him riled up now. See what
no,
you did?
It's like a barbecue. You can light the coals. You light all of the coals, and they all catch a fire. And there's that one or two there that just never really light. And the Jets have a few of those on the team that no matter what you say, you can have Bear Bryant there, and you're not going to get these guys going. So, I mean, the Jets are... They kind of reverting back to what they were in the late 80s.
That's true, but my thing about him, when somebody tells me that the guy's like the coach and he's a player's coach, well, how about playing for him, pal? How about playing for him?
Well, you got to have him.
How about coming out there and knocking a couple of people over in his name? How about that?
More playing. And less talking and getting into it with the fans, Bart Scott.
Bye-bye, Scott. Bye-bye.
Oh, Bart Scott, the mouth that roared.
He won't be back.
Oh, definitely. He got issues, that guy. He got issues.
I don't think Woody was going to eat all of that money as well. I mean, you couldn't get rid of your quarterback. You got rid of the GM, who I think they have to pay for another year or two.
True, you're right. I think he has 2 years left on his contract.
And then
how much you make it? $8 million? Sea Wings? $8 million? Sanchez? $8 million?
$8.5 million.
Yeah,
$8.5 million.
Yeah, $8.5 million coming to him this year, and I believe if they cut him outright, I think that counts to about $12 million on the cap. So they got
more than that.
Moron.
It would be a $17 million hit.
$17,
yeah.
I was off. Okay. He's
going to just hold the clipboard all season. They got to keep him. They can't get rid of him because he's going to make a ton of money to do nothing.
He's going to be better for that spot.
Well, because the moron that just left decided to give him more money in another year this year instead of making him prove himself before they gave him any other lengthy, contract.
That was makeup money because they were going to have Peyton Manning. So that was makeup money. They just gave it to him to keep him quiet.
I don't even know why they attempted to go after Peyton Manning. He didn't want him then, and I didn't see him coming to the Jets now, or at least now at that point. One, he's just not built for the New York Jets, I don't think. Not the way he was. And, the play calling, he likes to call his own plays, rightfully so. I think he deserves that. I mean, like I said, it shows the faith. And I've never really seen any quarterback with that ability from Montana to Tom Brady to be able to – the coach is calling you off the field, and you tell the coach, no, I'm going to run this. I'm gonna run this play, and he gets the first down. I mean, I don't see any quarterback in this league being able to call it like that. He was with Tony Dungy.
See, Wins, who's the greatest quarterback of all time? Let me hear your opinion.
Greatest quarterback of all time.
If you had a team, you want to draft a quarterback. Who would you pick as your number one quarterback?
I would go with Peyton Manning.
Okay. I say Joe Montana.
I mean, for that time, but I think Peyton Manning, he's just incredible. Do he make some mistakes like other guys? Yes, but he leads the defense. I mean, I've never seen a quarterback that I can think of when they got 12 men on the field. He's in the huddle and he rushes the team to the line, causing you get the more men on the field, a penalty. I mean, I think he's one of the best in that. Even Brady, he gets rattled. You put the pressure on him, and he gets rattled sometimes. I've seen Peyton Manning nearly down, throws the ball for 20 yards and completes it. Incredible.
Yeah. You talk about, four neck surgeries?
Yes.
Yeah.
far, yeah.
And you think he's gonna deserve MVP or comeback player of the year?
I give him MVP.
No, I think Adrian Peterson deserves MVP. I think Peyton Manning deserves comeback player of the year.
I think Adrian
Peterson deserves it. 12 men on the line. You still run some
stuff. I think what you have here, gentlemen, the politics and the favoritism and always interjections of racism is going to lead toward Peyton Manning. I think really, you know, we hardly heard about Adrian Peterson. I remember when the injury came, and the first thing that the great astute C-Wing said that, wow, you know, that's you know, you just don't come back from that kind of injury.
Mine
don't come back.
To be honest with you, mine a miracle.
Not only that, Doc, you come back in such a short period of time. What a lot of the people don't talk about is Peyton Manning has 16 months to rehab. Mm. You look at Adrian Peterson.
Less than a year. Not only that, too. I mean, the Denver, and this is where you kind of can those who with the pro Tebow movement can kind of hang your hat on. People have forgotten. You know, Denver had made the playoffs the year before. Denver had won their division the year before. So Denver had a very good season. You know, I mean, Adrian Peterson took his team to the playoffs. That hadn't seen the playoffs, won't expect to make the playoffs, and what more can you say? I think looking back, it was silent. You know, everybody kept talking about Manning, and everybody kept talking about Denver, and they won 8 in a row, they won 7 in a row. But here was Peterson playing against, and let's look at it, playing against a tougher schedule. Okay,
yeah.
You know, he's playing against the Packers twice a year, Adrian Rodgers and company. He's playing against the Chicago Bears, and let's forget Lovie Smith and crew. They were 7-1 at one time. I mean, they were all but conceded, not only the division, but heading to the Super Bowl. So he's playing against Chicago. He's playing against Green Bay. Detroit is no slouch. I mean, the competition that he played against was far superior than Peyton Manning, and, you know, he's out there by himself to a certain degree. But I think the politics, the racism, the favoritism is going to lead toward Peyton Manning. And people will they'll say, well, you know, he did. But as I look back in the course of the season, those last 3 or 4 weeks, where I became aware of it, to me, it became quite obvious that Adrian Peterson was MVP. And if the complexions were different, Adrian Peterson, all the things we're saying about Peterson, because here's another guy today, Jim Caldwell. Nobody's talking about Tim Caldwell. This guy came in here because everybody said, what are the Ravens doing firing their offensive coordinator, you know, this late in the season, and they said, you know, the Ravens are playing the basic defensive team. This guy, more than, and you got to take your hat off to Harbaugh. You got to take your hat off to Harbaugh to bring him in. He was the quarterback coach, but he, and you don't hear anything about it, has been the difference in the Ravens getting into the Super Bowl. I mean, has Flacco ever had this kind of play? He threw for over 800 yards, a horde of touchdowns, but more importantly, no INTs. So,
playing great.
You got to go with Caldwell on two things. The rapport that he has with Flacco and what he did with Flacco as a quarterback coach and then what he did for this team as offensive coordinator. But you hardly hear anything about it. You got to take your hat off Caldwell for this is the guy that brought him in, had no reserves about it, but you hear nothing about this super duper. The Ravens are not in the Super Bowl without the play of Flacco and the offensive play.
Oh, he's having a tremendous run, no doubt, Doc. Both quarterbacks are at the top of their game. As a matter of fact, my opinion of the Super Bowl is going to be whatever defense can rattle or pressure the opposing team's quarterback is going to win this game, because both of them are at the top of their games and playing superbly.
Hey, Doc, can I ask you a question? Who are you thinking will win Rookie of the Year as a quarterback?
Well, it's got to be RG3. I mean, it's what he did.
Well,
first of all, they won the division. They won the division against the Giants. They came back, and the first game they lost here to the Giants was a game that they were winning. And I remember them saying, Doc Stanley Sports and their Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, it's the pre-Super Bowl special. They're here. Legends that they are. Lewis, the Hoopster Heart, Cincinnati, Sea Wings, Raymond, and Mel Cosell. I remember how there was two things I remember about that game. How they felt that it was a game that they lost that they should have won, and how they would there was a confidence, and you know what, we're going to be all right. RG3 won the division. And you take your hat off to their coach, because the thing that Patrick Farrar said, the great football mind, was that he didn't make RG3 adjust his offense. He does his offense around RG3. Guy came as a Heisman Trophy winner. And you know what? And I tell you about RG. You didn't hear a lot of hype about RG3 as a Heisman Trophy winner. You heard a hype about his ability, but you never heard a lot of hype about, well, this was the Heisman Trophy winner. They hardly ever mentioned that, like he never won the thing. They never talked about his Heisman Trophy, but they always talked about his tremendous ability, the ability to throw the football, the ability to run the football. Then he turns around and comes in, and you give it to him for two reasons, too. As a rookie, and this is the thing about Joe Namath, as a rookie, you know, a lot of old-timers didn't like him, but leaders. There are guys who are leaders. Every quarterback is not a leader. Every quarterback is a quarterback, but there are some guys who are leaders. And that's what RG3 was. I think, too, that they won a tough division, and they hadn't won a Monday Night Football game since the 1990s. They won a Monday Night Football game at home.
Against the Giants,
you know.
Against the Giants.
A game that they felt that they should have won in New York. And then you look at the kind of gutsy performance he puts on, gets them into the division, then wins the division. And then he couldn't play, but I mean, he goes down to Dallas and beats Dallas. I mean, beat him. I mean, beat him. So I mean, if you gave it to the guy,
can I make a quick statement about three, Doc?
Go ahead.
Can I just make a really brief statement about, you know, I have never been so saddened to see a guy get hurt than I have with three. It's not because I'm a huge Washington fan, but this guy has, Doc and panel, so much talent. You know, that I'm afraid because of his injuries and the beating that he's taking that, you know, he's obviously going to start to become and protect himself a lot more and become more of a pocket passer. Mm-hmm. But, Doc, if he could have stayed healthy, uninjured, and remained the unbridled guy that would just take the ball down and run and be able to beat you with his arm as well as his legs, oh, man, he would have truly revolutionized the quarterback position.
Rooney, if he stays healthy... You were talking about the Redskins against the 49ers.
Yeah. And Doc, he revolutionized the position.
Don't forget, Angela.
Was that?
What about Russell Wilson?
Oh,
well,
he's my pick for rookie of the year. That's my pick.
Well, you know what? I tell you, know what may happen here? You know what may happen here? Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth, Blog Talk Radio, and the Trust and Guardian. You know what may happen here? A situation where, because they're going to try to tell you luck, because he got his team to the playoffs, and he broke all the rookie records that Cam Newton had the year before, okay? And then they may tell you Russell because of the fact of, you know, he was just – nobody even heard of him. I mean, we knew of Luck. We knew of RG3. So he was just a dark horse that was also a dark horse. He was dark horse and dark horse in color. You know what I mean? And I don't know what Carroll was thinking about. He had two timeouts, two-minute warning. The next thing, they're down to 44 seconds. And I just said I felt he should have called a timeout, where if he had another 20 seconds, then Russell and them, they would have beat Atlanta. And, you know, Russell and them against the 49ers is a whole nother football game and a whole nother scope of what can happen as opposed to Atlanta. You know, when Atlanta went up 17-0 in the first quarter, I said, you know, that's nothing. And which shows you the kind of team and character that the 49ers were. But, you know, a lot of times when you do things too quick, it's a disadvantage, in this case, not a disadvantage. It's a matter of time, and they had scored 17 points, and they got only seven the rest of the game.
But they got complacent after that 17-0 lead, Doc. And
well,
as you know, football more than any other sport is won and lost on the big play.
Mm-hmm. Look
at Flacco. Threw that. What was it? 71 yarder.
Yeah,
I mean that it coming from a quarterback like him, and Doug brought up a good point on how Caldwell. No one talked about him. You look at Flacco; he's another guy that flies under the radar, but he went to these playoff games and he won back to back.
He won them all. He threw over 800 yards. He hasn't thrown. I mean, there's nobody that said they couldn't. Brady threw an INT in the playoffs. Manning threw an INT in the playoffs. Nobody can say that they didn't throw an INT in the playoffs but Flacco. And I said, you know, you just look at the nurturing that the Caldwell, who and the thing that you get asked too, how come this guy doesn't have a head coaching job? And how come his name is that? Well, maybe after Super Bowl his name will pop up, but how come he doesn't have a head coaching job? And it was sort of a little, as the great Lady A would say, a little shisty and trifling the way he left Baltimore. I mean, here's a guy was on the verge of an undefeated season, and then you look at the rest of the league with the record that he had in Baltimore. You mean to tell me that nobody wanted to snatch him? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, but as often as things change, they remain the same. I think it's RG3. I think it's RG3 because of all the quarterbacks, RG is the most renowned and the most popular. He's more popular than Luck. He's more popular than Russell. He's the most popular. Everybody, and I think, and but you're never surprised at what happened. But I think his show of courage and character. And I think of all the quarterbacks, Luck, Russell, I think of all the quarterbacks, he is the reason more so that his team elevated to where they were, and he is the leader. There's no question that RG3 is the leader of the Washington Redskins.
He is the total opposite of Mark Sanchez in the fact that he is the total antithesis of Mark Sanchez in the fact that as soon as he steps on the field, everybody around him is better. He makes everybody better.
Well, that's going. We can vote on this. That's going to be. You know who they're going to vote for, though. No. Like Doc says, politics.
Yeah. Hold on, gentlemen. Don't move.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, please, for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that much to me.
David Ruffin and the Temptation. Just going to do a quick review. This is February 2nd. I got to look at my calendar for February birthdays real quick here, too. But we just want to go back one more time. Oh, here, I got February here. Let me take a look here. This is a month birthdays. Let's take a quick look. You know, I got to give Lady A a call. The 5th of this month is Hank Aaron and Roberto Alomar's birthday. I always thought it was really funny, too, how Hank Aaron's birthday was the 5th of February, and Babe Ruth's birthday was the 6th of February. That was when they both were 1-2 all-time home run. Hank was number one, and Babe was number two. Other birthdays that come up this month, Bill Russell on the 12th, who's actually a month after Joe Frazier. Smokey Robinson. Legendary Smokey Robinson. That's Bill Russell's on the 19th. Dave Winfield and his lovely wife, Tanya, they celebrated birthday on the 18th. John Patrick. Sugar Ray Robinson of tennis, well, I'm concerned. He has a birthday on the 16th, along with the Marcus Boykin, Marion Boykin's son. Marion Boykin, the greatest boxing mind of our time. The B, Black, Audacious, Green, and Bluff. He has a birthday on the 10th. And on the 22nd, the Doctor, who, for my money, the most exciting girl was going at the apex of his game. He was equal and superior to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. The 24th, the greatest switch hitter in the history of baseball. The only switch hitter was with 500 home runs, 500 doubles, and 3,000 base hits. The incomparable Eddie Murray. Family-wise, hey, my brother James celebrates a birthday on the 7th, and on the 6th, my Uncle John has the birthday. Sidney Poitier, birthday after that of Smokey Robinson on the 20th. And let's just do the month real quick. I want to say happy birthday to Lady A. I got to send a call out to Chris Chambliss now, the wife of Chris Chambliss, the last, actually, in fact, the only African-American batting coach of the New York Yankees. Got fired in the world champion year, which is always amazing. Wow. Brandon Boykin's birthday today, Marion Boykin's other son. And we told Hank Aaron's on the 5th, and the 6th is Babe Ruth. The 7th is my brother James, my 6th Uncle Paul. We also mentioned that Bill Russell has a birthday on the 12th. Remember John Maxwell on the 16th, Tanya and Dave Winfield, the only man ever drafted by everybody. NBA, ABA, NFL, AFL. I even think the women's softball league got they no, we went to the 19th Smokey Robinson. Sidney Poitier the 20th. Dr. J the 22nd, my late cousin Audrey. Bert Flowers, who had a great line, I'll never forget. As far as he's concerned, Dr. J would have told Michael Jordan a brand new boom, boom, boom. And he had another great statement, too. He said, you know, in this whole steroid era, if everybody's taking steroids, Bert said, then who's cheating? Eddie Murray in the 24th, my cousin Kyle, was going to be some kind of basketball player, pro and college, and his grandmother and my aunt the next day, 27th Howard Way. So those are people that we know of marriage. Smokey Robinson in the 19th, Sidney Poitier on the 20th, on the 12th, Bill Russell. Fifth, Hank Aaron, and sixth, late George Herman Group. Sonny Height, head of security at the Yankee Stadium, and one of the great detectives in history of New York City. Police Department has a birthday on the 15th. Going back to January, because we closed out January with the birthday. We did a special here on Jack Roosevelt Robinson. His birthday is the 31st. And as we go through the month, Muhammad Ali on the 17th with our good buddy, Buddy McGirt. The 15th is Bernard Hawkins and Dr. King. 16th, Rook Jones Jr. on the 12th. Was that of our late good friend, Smokey Joe Frazier. The 10th, the oldest man who ever came to this world, none other than George. Man, the 2nd, the 4th was the birthday of Marla Barfield, wife of Jesse Barfield, who is the only African American to lead the league home run for a foreign team. My beloved mother, the 21st. My dear Turquoise on the 2nd. My grandson on the 25th. And like I said, those of marriage, I've been Martin, born detective, in the police department. And 27th of January, San Paulo Day, special celebration in San Paulo, beloved city. So, we remember the birthdays in January, and we remember the birthdays that are coming here in February. And with that, as maybe wonder, let us remember this Black History Month. Okay? The accomplishments that we have made. And it's amazing how Jackie is on the last day of January as we usher into Black History Month, which was originally just a week. And then essentially it became a month. I always said it's amazing though that it's the shortest month of the year. But the accomplishments are you can't go be an open heart surgery. First open heart surgery was performed. Not African American. The traffic light, African American. The elevator, African American. The cell phone, an African American. Can we remember George Washington Carver? There's Dr. King. There's Muhammad Ali. There's Frederick Douglass. The names and the accomplishments were intimate. And we take pride in the fact that we are that men of color. And nobody. Is more an American than an African American. It was the African Americans who built this country. The Statue of Liberty was sent here by France as a salute to the black soldiers in the North that were the difference in the North beating South in the Civil War. Little known fact, there were chains on the bottom of them, there were some alterations done. The model of the Statue of Liberty was a woman of color. And, you know, look at people talk about the native tongue of America. Well, the native tongue of America is not English. The native tongue of America, I know Vespucius, when he came here, I think he was Italian. Columbus was Spaniard. But the native tongue of America is Black Hawk, Cherokee, Apache. Okay? It's the Indian language. And there were so many Indians, Arapaho, you know, Cheyenne. And I'm proud, too, that I am part of it, part time, and Apache and Blackfoot. But just saying happy birthday. Gentlemen, we're looking at a football game tomorrow. Good. 20 minutes left here. Let's take our picks real quickly so we indulge into other subjects. But we're going to start with you, Rooney. It's Ray Lewis' first game. 49ers coming with a horde of weapons. Who do you like tomorrow and why?
I like the Niners, Doc, only because I think that they're going to make more big plays in this football game. I think they're going to be able to move the football a little easier. I have to say, I don't have that much confidence in their kicking game. To be honest with you, I'm a little you know, I'm hoping that if that comes down to a, you know, a last minute kick, I don't have that much confidence in their, you know, field their field goal kicker, to be honest with you. I don't have that great of confidence. But I think overall they'll be able to make more big plays and be able to move the football a little bit easier. It's going to be whether the Ray Lewis's of the world and company are going to be able to pressure their quarterback. And what I would do to keep Lewis and company honest, Doc, is make them cover somebody, man. Make those old bones run across the field as often as possible. Make them give constant movement so that you can try to wear that defense down a little bit. Run the ball. Try to make the big play when you can, because they're definitely going to try to throw the ball down the field. There's no question about that. And they have a quarterback that can just pull the ball down and run it. So I think, you know, if they make the bigger plays and their field goal kicker is halfway decent, because he's been shaky. I think he's missed 13 field goals during the course of this year, thereabouts. So he's been a little shaky. But if he's on his game and, you know, they can move the ball like I think they will, because this could turn out to be either the biggest dud of all time or a tremendous football classic. Both quarterbacks at the top of their game. Both teams playing tremendous ball. So, in short, I'm going with the Niners.
And there's Rooney. He's got the 49ers. You got a score for it, Rooney?
No, I'm not doing a score thing, Doc. If you just want one, I'll go with the 28-21. But,
okay.
I just thought they were going to win the game outright. I hadn't really done the score thing. But I'll say 28-21. It'll be somewhere, I think, in the high 20s, low 30s. Yeah, I think they're going to both be able to move the football.
All right. And before we get to T-Wing, let's go to the Houston for his choice. And we'll pick up a little basketball. Ladies and gentlemen, who's the heart? Who's going to win? And first of all, the Knicks, if they win today, Houston, they're in first place. And the Nets are still playing good basketball. Your thought, Knicks-Nets, real quickly, before we ask you your choice for tomorrow's Super Bowl victory.
We talk about the Knicks or the Nets?
Yeah. I mean, they're both playing very well. I mean, are you surprised at this juncture of the season that I think we're not surprised by the play of the Knicks, but I think people thought the Nets were going to, like, fold up, like, as Mark Morgan said, a cheap card table, and they haven't.
No, like I was saying last show, I was saying you got to give PJ some credit and his staff, and they got them boys playing some great basketball. What can you say? And then we want to congratulate Lopez, finally the only net to make the All-Star game. You know they have no choice on that. You know he was not supposed to make that All-Star game. Like I was saying last week, they didn't want to pick a net because Avery Johnson's firings. All the coaches was mad about that. So, you know, that goes to show you all coaches in the NBA stick together. But the Knicks are playing great, too. Kamala Anthony's playing well. And Chauncey Chandler, we'll congratulate him for being an All-Star reserve. We'll congratulate him. That was well-deserved. He had 20 rebounds last night.
We're getting that noise from the... Okay. Yeah, 20 rebounds. 20 rebounds or 20 points?
20 rebounds.
Wow. Heck of a game last night there.
Yes,
all right, what tomorrow? It's Ray Lewis, the team that you as a Steeler don't like, and it's Central 49ers.
I like Baltimore, but Flacco's, like I was saying, he's up and down. I want the 49ers. I don't want them to win, but they got a good quarterback. I don't think the Ravens got an answer for that quarterback. So, and plus, I want Randy Moss to get his ring also. Everybody forgot about him. So everybody forget Randy Moss is still playing, y'all. So, it's going to be a good game. Like my man said, they got to let Ray and them chase some people. Let them cover some people. And Gore can do his thing, you know what I mean? Open up the middle. Like I said, that boy can run and throw, so I don't think the Ravens have an answer for him. So, it's going to be a good game. I said 27-24, 49ers.
Is the
cool
still
like, yeah, I'm sorry.
What is that noise?
Yeah, I think it may be coming. I just can't get it here. I don't know where we get it. Sorry for the interruption.
It sounds like one on the
hold on. Let me see if it's me.
Before you get to C-Wings and his
prediction. I have a prediction myself. Before, I know I'd already done the game, but this is my prediction, guys, for something else. As far as the half, say, or Alicia Keys.
You said which one? What was that?
What was that?
Hey, see, I was saying, hey, see, do you remember way back in the day, like the 70s, when, like, Prince and Michael Jackson was, like, battling it out to be, like, the guy? You'd see one on the bill, and then 3 weeks later, you'd see the other guy. And you see one guy shut off the stadium, and then 3 weeks later, you see the other guy. I think it's that way with Beyonce and Alicia Keys. One is at the inaugural, then the other one's at the inaugural. Now one is going to be here at the Super Bowl by halftime, the other singing the national anthem. I mean, what is the deal with Beyonce versus Alicia Keys?
Come on, I've got to apologize. I don't see what the problem is.
It sounds like we're riding on the old back in the day. I definitely think I think it's a different type of music between the two.
Oh yeah, it is. But they're both like vying to be like the girl, you know, like the number one like artist. You know, you got Beyonce doing this, that, and the other. Then of course you got to see Alicia Keys doing this, that, that, and the other. I got to tell you, very, very interesting competition. What is that strange drumming sound? What is that?
I think Doc is live with it. Building
yeah, Doc, I think so. What the hell? What the heck is that?
I don't know, gang. I'm trying to find out now. We're looking in the studio to see what's the cause of it. Wings, your pick tomorrow, why?
I look at the...
Gang, hold tight here. Wings, Yo, gang, we're going. I don't understand what this technicality is. Wing, your pick tomorrow, and why?
My pick tomorrow. It's definitely a tough choice there, but I think the Baltimore Ravens will pull it out. You have not only number 52, who is what a lot of people don't point out is that he's the only man on the current roster to have a Super Bowl ring.
See, Doc, who can you guys hear? I think this is what is known in the business as technical difficulty.
You're listening to the Sports in Depth on the Trust in God Network. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Please stand by.
I think we may have it solved now. We may have it solved.
Well, and you have two good teams. You have a good offense going against a good defense. The problem I see that the Ravens will have if they tend to double team Michael Crabtree, who is a menace to a secondary, then that leaves no other than Randy Moss open, and I mean he could pick you apart. Maybe
yeah, he could. Wouldn't he like to make a statement? See,
oh yeah,
wouldn't he like to have a statement game?
In a ring, you know.
And Randy Moss. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have Ray Lewis, who's the only person on the team to have a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
If they rush all five towards Kaepernick, he's going to pick them apart. I think if they play nice, smart football, put the pressure on them, but also take out the wide receivers, you're going to see 19-17 Baltimore Ravens.
Really? Okay. So,
hey,
okay,
Doc, did you hear my score? Did you hear my score?
Give it to one more time there, Susan.
27-21.
Right, I had 28-21. We're close.
Yeah,
we're
like
close,
I was saying
close,
before we got interrupted, I was saying that they had a
the Ravens don't have an answer. If they don't have an answer for that quarterback, they're going to be in trouble, like C. Wayne said. And plus, they got Randy Moss is still playing. So, and plus, like my man said earlier, let them chase some people and open up the middle for Gore. So if that ever happens, then Baltimore's going to be in a lot of trouble.
Don't forget. Yeah, but let's go the other way, though. If Baltimore can, I mean, Kaepernick has had some, he's had some, he's played very well in the playoffs.
Yes, he has.
A lot of that team is too automatic.
But
pilot.
They gave up a lot of points in the playoffs too. That's the problem.
Tremendous
oh, yeah,
point. I mean,
true.
I don't think they can get 17 points behind the Ravens, and one from a defensive standpoint of view, the Ravens have a superior defense than the Hawks, and I don't think the Ravens are going to score 17 points in the first quarter and not score no more points. But one more touchdown after that. So if they find themselves behind, I mean, what do these guys do? I think Atlanta, a lot of Atlanta was perpetrating the fraud. Atlanta was nowhere.
Choke artists.
I always said it.
I wasn't
sold on
Atlanta. They self-destruct.
And I said the crowd noise was going to work against them.
Yeah,
and
you did say that.
It's just, they're like the Houston Texans. I mean, I'm not taking away the wins that they had, but listen, you can look at the New England Patriots when they were going to go undefeated until they ran across a Trojan horse or someone with an iron boot called the New York Giants. Listen, it takes a long time to get to the Super Bowl. A lot of injuries, a lot of games, a long preseason training camp. So, I mean, just Baltimore just looks like the better team. You have a veteran quarterback who's won not the big game, but who's won the playoff games. What was it, 4 or 5 in a row? I mean, he doesn't get the in each season, he doesn't get the recognition. But Flacco, he just seems to be playing excellent football right now. So
yeah, he is. A lot of credit. He's playing great football.
Not to take anything from Kaepernick, because if he breaks loose and he runs and he throws and you leave these wide receivers, Crabtree or Randy Moss open.
Oh, Vernon Davis. Don't forget Vernon Davis, too. I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And
he's playing great football
that,
also.
I just think that I think the 49ers are a good team. And I remember when me and Doc were there when they blew out the New York Jets.
They ran roughshod over the.
They ran gunshot on them, man.
And I said that this guy was better than Alex Smith.
There's two things here. He's better than Alex Smith, and it was my impression that anybody was better than Alex Smith, with the exception of Mark Sanchez, of course. But I mean, I just remember the championship game last year against the Giants, that the 49ers did not, novamente, the same point, did not convert one third down. So to me, there's something wrong with both your offensive call and your quarterback. You went through an entire football, and I still almost won the football game, but won an entire football game and did not convert a third down. Real quickly, let's look at some Super Bowl facts. The Ravens, 49ers Super Bowl history. Both teams are unbeaten in the Super Bowl. And the 49ers won their first Super Bowl, beating the Cincinnati Bengals 26-21. Then they came back and beat the Dolphins 38-16. They beat the Bengals again. Wow, I didn't realize that. 2016, they ran roughshod over the Denver Broncos 55-10. And they beat the Chargers 49-26. That's two back-to-back Super Bowls. Two wins there where they averaged 50 points, those two Super Bowls. Wow. The Ravens just ran over the Giants 34-7.
Don't forget the Ravens were number 4 seed going against the number 1 seed, Giants.
Yeah, number 4, yeah.
Yeah, well, hey, that was a Super Bowl fact. The Lions are the only team to have played in every season since the first Super Bowl, Super Bowl I, without making it to the Super Bowl. No team has ever been shut out in the Super Bowl. The Dolphins scored a game-low 3 points in Super Bowl number 6. 16 games have been decided by 7 points or less, including 6 of the last 9 games, okay? No team has ever rallied from a deficit of more than 10 points to win. The Patriots and the Panthers combined for the highest scoring quarter in history, when they scored 37 points in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl number 38. And the Bills committed, wow, a game record 9 turnovers in Super Bowl 27. So those are some Super Bowl facts. And one more time, we just want to take our hats off to Jim Caldwell.
Yes, congratulations to him. Yeah.
Here's a guy that, now, I mean, you, when you see Flacco on the offense, you see his accomplishments in two areas. Flacco is a quarterback. Well, I would like Flacco. Flacco, Wings, what I like about Flacco, he's remind me a lot of Roman Gabriel, who was a big quarterback back in the day. This is what Flacco was. Flacco was like a, has like the size of a linebacker. He's a big guy. I remember when he first played against the Jets or the Giants, and I remember in the locker room afterwards just seeing how big he was, for a quarterback. And he's just Brady's strength either, but he's just a big guy. But I think a nod has been given credit-wise to the job that Caldwell has done. Luckily for the Ravens, he wasn't head coach someplace else, but he has done twofold here. And if they win this tomorrow, from an offensive standpoint of view, no matter how many points they put up, he has got to be a big, big reason. We've got our projections. The prediction, Cincinnati Sea Wings is going with the Ravens. The Hoopster is going with the 49ers, as well as Mel Cosell Smith Jr. If you want to call us here in these last few minutes, you have a prediction, 646-200-0373. 646-200-0373. Tell us who you like in the Super Bowl. We made our predictions. We've talked football. Jerry Rice and the name of Randy Moss. Jerry Reese, great GM of the New York Giants. Victor Cruz, who, by the way, the Cruz does some money, and he had a heck the most catches ever in a Pro Bowl. Bart Starr, first man to win the Super Bowl MVP. In fact, he won it the next year, back-to-back. Beat the Kansas City Chiefs and came back the next year and beat Dow LaMonica, Fred Blinnikoff, Dave Casper, and the Oakland Raiders. Ray Lewis, only one of six guys to ever win Defensive Player of the Year twice. It's his last football game tomorrow, number 52. One of the most famous numbers defensively or just in general.
And the only one with the ring. Don't forget that, Doc, on the Ravens right now.
The Ravens, yeah. That was and you know what? And I want to take my hat off to Skip Bayless. You know, the other day, they had a show. I said, I'm my man, Panama. So one more time, let me know that Sports and Death brought you by Chipitos and Fortaleza, okay? Number one, calzones. They get sandwiches, they got shakes, they got hamburgers, they got pizzas, torpedoes. And in Portuguese, esse não somente número uno in Fortaleza, é número uno in El Mundo, in Brazil. And the thing, too, with the, well, also we want to say, I was in the barbershop the other day, and Skip Bayless and also Panama, want to salute him as he also Panama Andres Barbershop, also another one of the sponsors here on Sports in Depth, right here in the Bronx, baby. You want it done right? Andres, 917-751-3393. Panama, 21 East 175th Street. You want to shave, you want to cut, you want it done right? It's Panama, 917-751-3393. Andres Barbershop, address one more time, 21 East 175th Street. And Torpedoes in Brazil. There was a guy, and he said, he was just so tired of hearing about Ray Lewis. You know, it was becoming, he said, it bothered him that they kept talking about Ray Lewis. And I said, wow, you know, what had bothered him had this been Tom Brady's last game? What had bothered him had this been Peyton Manning's last game? You know, what had bothered him had this been not a play of Cover's last game? Why did it bother him? Cut the TV off! Cut the radio off! You all have to listen. But why is it bothering you that Ray Lewis, one of only two, one of six players to ever get Defensive Player of the Year twice, why is Ray Lewis one of the greatest defensive players of all time? Why is Ray Lewis, and this is what Bayless talked about. He said, whoa, I have a problem. He said, you know, you don't see what he brought to this team from an instrumental, okay, and from a psychological point of view, not to mention that he came back early. Nobody's talking about this. You know, Ray Lewis came back faster than what he was supposed to off that injury. I mean, Ray Lewis, for all intents and purposes, was not supposed to play any more football this season, which meant that if he's going to retire, that he wasn't going to play any more football ever. But he came back way ahead of schedule. But I just couldn't understand what was his problem of the ink that Ray Lewis is getting for 1 week. I mean, and Bayless was just right on the money with the, he didn't see the problem with it. He also alluded to what the, what he has done and meant to this team, not only on the football field, but psychologically and as a instrumental part of pushing this team. I mean, the two most important guys for the Ravens in this whole playoff run has been Jim Caldwell and Ray Lewis. And you got to like Harbaugh for the demeanor that he has is, hey, man, go ahead. I mean, it's like down in the park, we're playing basketball. If hoops is hot, hey, shoot the ball, baby. I mean, we're going to ride you because maybe next game we're going to give it to Rooney. And then there's Sea Wings. It's about winning. That's the bottom line. Yeah. And you got to take your hat off to Harbaugh as a coach who didn't see any threatening factor with Caldwell and to Ray Lewis as a great player. And I just wanted to take this time to salute Skip Bayless for when he said, whoa, what's the problem here? What's the problem of these salutations to this great football player? What's the problem with these salutations to one of the greatest players that ever played a game? What's wrong with the salutation for the best player on this team to come out of the East? What's the problem? I mean, the accolades are deserved. The accolades are earned. And the accolades, we're talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer. So what's the problem? And, you know, there always seems to be a problem when there's people of color. You know, it's just,
well,
it's
I have been looking
changed
at a lot, Doc. I mean, these guys are first ballot Hall of Famer. One of the greatest linebackers to play this game. I mean, there's no question about it. But, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the dance and the all of this and the that. I mean, you know, let's play the game, please. You
no,
know,
no, no, no. But Rooney, this is what he's always done.
Play the ball
this
game
is what
now.
He's always done.
Which he's not going to do his dance. It's been reported by the team's management that he won't do the dance tomorrow when they're introduced. But, and I tell you this, when I was covering the game this past season between the Giants and Baltimore, even I watched Ray Lewis on the side. I watched his leadership. I mean, even injured on the sideline, the guys turned to him. He would fire up the team. I mean, it won't be more like him. I mean, not in our lifetimes. And I think he makes them believe. And I think that's about 80% of it. If you could make them believe we can pull this off, we can ride this out, we can make this happen, and you don't find too many players like that.
He's a leader. He's a leader both by example and also what you talked about, the little intangibles that he does. Hey, man, you know, hey Rooney, come over here. Hey, Rooney, man, great play, man. But no, hey, I know Doc got the interception. Yeah, but the hit you put on the on the fullback that allowed the quarterback to throw the INT. Hey, Hoosa, man. Hey, man, I like the way you're playing. Good game today, Hoosa. I know you only had two tackles, man, but they didn't throw the ball in your area. C Wings, baby. You only ran for 97 yards, but you got end zone three times. The little things that a Willie Mays does, that a Oscar Robertson does.
Doc,
Rooney?
Can I say this, okay?
Rooney,
don't get me wrong.
Rooney.
I know they play two different positions. Ray is on the inside, and I understand that. Great ball player, no question. But let me just say this. My personal opinion, Lawrence Taylor is the greatest linebacker that's ever played.
Rooney,
game, okay?
We're not getting into that. We know what it means.
This is a different era, Rooney. Different era,
okay.
Man.
Okay, right, Rooney. We know what
different era. We know that Lawrence Taylor, but this is now. We know that Lawrence Taylor.
Right. Good point. I mean, we know
Lawrence Taylor was for Ray Lewis.
Yeah, but we know Willie's the greatest. But you know, Ken Griffey Jr. is a hell of a center fielder too. Ain't no Willie Mays, but there ain't no Willie Mays, and we ain't taking anything from LT. But you can't take anything away from
Ray Lewis.
We're not going
to take anything from him, but I mean, you know, this guy. Let me say this about him. Like I said, first ballot Hall of Fame and whatnot, but. In my particular opinion, like I said, he plays the inside, so much like Hoops was
he's
saying,
a middle linebacker. He's a middle linebacker.
Positions.
You can't equate a shortstop okay?
Right,
with
right.
Right,
they play two different positions, but I'm just saying from the linebacker position.
But nobody has played
be my
it better
as far as that's
than
concerned.
Ray Lewis. Rooney, close this out real quick.
Well, Doc, in this very spirited discussion, the sports and definition.
This is the debate right now. First and ten.
Indeed.
Better than first and ten.
Indeed. The Sports in Depth Nation's been here. Our Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. The Straw That Stirs the Drink has been here. And that's been the incomparable Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And the drink cannot be mixed or stirred without the ingredients that are far superior to any pleasure you're going to hear. And they are Mel, Cold Cells, Mr. Jr., a.k.a. Little Coca, the Hoopster, Louis Hart, and Cincinnati Seaways. Larry Hardesty, you got something to say? Come on in.
Thank you for joining us for this installment of Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. We hope you join us, and please tell a friend about Sports in Depth, heard every Wednesday and Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. on SAR-FM Radio, the heartbeat of Africa, in the heartbeat of the Big Apple, New York City, in the heartbeat of Harlem.
Well, they told you who they like. Cincinnati Sea Wings, he's going with 1917 score or thereabout. The Baltimore Ravens, the Hoopster. He says it 27-21 for the San Francisco 49ers. Who's won this thing five times. And Mel Cosell, Smith King, a.k.a. Little Coco, says he's going to go on a point better. It's 28-21. It's going to be the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sitting on the bubble right now. I think, for all intents and purposes, you would probably lean toward the offense of the San Francisco 49ers, but the defense of the Ravens has been outstanding, and at the same time, they've been able to do a lot of things from an offensive standpoint of view. Right now, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see the Ravens pull this thing off. And the situation that I find here that is so so refreshing is that no matter where it goes, if Ray Lewis gets another ring, fine. If he doesn't, he has one. But it'll be good to see Randy Moss get his ring. Doc Stanley.
Yes.
Sports in Depth on the Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network, leaving you with three thoughts.
Can
live
we
your life today.
The metro area?
Yes. What's that, Hoopster?
Can we salute the New York City area just real quick? It will be a buzz, this New York City metropolitan area this year, as the incomparable World Wrestling Entertainment comes to town in April for WrestleMania.
You know, what's the story here? Is this like a tag thing? No, now I'm seeing what's going on here. You're here with those green tights and that black mask on, and then there's the Mel with those off-green tights, too. So this is a little tag team thingy, huh?
Yes, Doc, because as you would be
called the Nut Brothers.
The Rock, who happens to be a black man, as you all know, broke all pay-per-view records at the last WrestleMania for WWE.
He's the champ, too, right?
And they're bringing him back, hoping for him again to help break all records at WrestleMania, The Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know, there is a... And I say this so redundantly. That's that great line that Walt Whitman always says. I no doubt deserve my enemies, but I doubt if I deserve my friends. I convey this with pride. There's some vanity, and there's always validation. These are the greatest collection of people you're going to hear. I mean, there's guys on CBS, NBC. They don't know any more than these people. And what they bring to you is a special ingredient. And these people... yes, they're my friends, they're my family, but through others, I am somebody. And it's Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley, but it's Mel Cosell Smith, it's Cincinnati Sea Wings, it's Lewis Hoopster Hart, it's Lady A, Harold Weston, and these three gentlemen tonight have just been such a core. I want to thank you so much for another great show, but it's through others, and I just thank God for what they bring to this table. You get things here that you're not going to hear or see any place. I remember the great line that Brian Taylor used to say about playing with Dr. J. He says, you know, I always watch Julius, he said, because I know I'm going to see something that I'll never see again. And we hope that you understand that by listening to us, you're going to hear something that you haven't heard before. And when we give you a show here, we don't bring you just the latest on sports. but we bring you an education, an insight, an introduction to sports that is unparalleled. Again, Doc Stanley, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network, Trust in God Radio, and the sports network. We simply say in closing as...
Hey, Doc, can I say something also?
Go ahead, sir.
Oh, we want to send our condolences to the mayor, Ed Koch. He just passed away at 88 years old. And, you know, he's become to my theater as a movie critic.
Yeah,
never wanted
also,
no special privileges. Nope, never.
And I tell you something, we also want to, once again, send our condolences out to Crystal Hart, who lost her father the other day. One of our colleagues here, the first lady of cable television, the first female, we're first in the prettiest. And with that, leaving you with some thoughts. As you know, Jackie Robinson's birthday was 2 days ago. Jackie's great line, above all else, I hate to lose. And then he said another line, a life is not important except for the impact it has on another life. Roberto Clemente said, you know, when you got a chance to help somebody and do somebody here on earth and you don't do it, you're just wasting your time. Ali, service to others is the rent you pay for your room here on earth. Dr. King, three lines. If a man hasn't found something to die for, then life isn't worth living. It's not the longevity of one's life, but the quality of one's life. Forgiveness is not an occasional act, but a permanent state of mind. The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in times of comfort and convenience, the way he stands in times of trial and controversy. It's always the right time to do the right thing. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I simply leave you with my thought. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth. Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Radio Network, a pre-Super Bowl special. Hey, enjoy the game and come on back here with us. Marvin Gaye. Gentlemen, don't leave. But Marvin got something to say, and then we'll say goodnight again. Ladies and gentlemen, Marvin Gaye.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save the world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. When the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try
to save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow. Oh,
what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to
live. Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame? We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children. Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. to try, yeah, to save our world, yeah, save our sweet world, save a world that is destined to die. Never know.